This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
Behind every locked door is a story waiting to be uncovered. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring psychotherapist and author Siobhan Scott.
Compared to other medications that, you know, have been on the market for quite some time that people have been taking for years and basically need to stay on it, it's not going to change your brain. It's going to help you while you are on it. What's the difference between ketamine and some of those?
Well, we don't know yet. And again, it's a matter of dosing. If a person is on a little bit of Paxil or Prozac every day, and that's keeping them from having suicidal thoughts and keeping them functioning in their job, they're not having a mood alteration from taking the pill. In other words, the pill is working later on in the brain, a period of hours after they take it, working on the neurotransmitter levels. So it really is trying to correct something that's not working. Mm-hmm. With ketamine, there's speculation that it's creating new neural transmitters and creating new neural pathways. I think we're still speculating about that. I don't know how solid the science is on that.
Yeah.
And you're getting a mood alteration. So basically people are feeling high. And if the dose is big enough, they're basically knocking themselves out into this extreme dissociative state, which in some cases can be scary. And in other cases, they've stopped breathing.
Yeah.
So it's very different from something like an antidepressant. Very, very dangerous.
I mean, are the terms that are being used on this, like you said, where like it's creating new neural pathways, and you hear things like that, you're like, ooh, wow.
Is that sounds also good. I mean, sounds
is that
great.
Is it also to the level of credibility as drink this juice and the toxins will come out of your body? I mean, is
that's
it,
my concern, that we're using a lot of sciencey words, and maybe there have been a few small studies. Have there been large, really well done scientific studies to say, you know, we know that this is benefiting for certain, that the benefits are holding up over time. And we're not just letting people get high with something that perhaps alters their mood in a positive way during the hours that it's still actively in their system. But ketamine clears out of the system pretty fast, as I understand it. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's used as an anesthetic in the operating room, because people can go under, they're unconscious. And then they, you know, when the surgery's done, they stop the dosing and they clear up really quickly.
Yeah.
You know, I had a surgery a couple weeks ago. I think I got some ketamine, mm-hmm, along with a mixture of a couple other drugs. I read my records.
Yeah.
And I was fine, came out and I was absolutely fine.
Sure.
But that's the difference between when you have a physician administering something that's well understood and has been used for years, or having a box of lozenges at home that you're supposed to take one and you decide you like to get high, so you take 10.
Yeah.
You know, there's a real big difference with how we're administering this.
I mean, is it helping anyone? I mean, I'm sure people can argue both ways on this to a certain extent. But I mean, at the end of the day, you got to think long term. And I feel like so many people are singly operating on short term because they need that fix, because they need it, because life is difficult as it is. And people seem to be more on, I don't, maybe correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like there's more of a kick these days of let's, you know, check out, not death, but like, let's mentally check out. You know, if it's, you know, whether smoking weed or alcohol or, I mean, I think weed's obviously gotten pretty big. I'm a user of it. I'm not saying it's bad, but it certainly kind of checks you out a little bit if you want to just kind of calm down and not worry about it. And it's less harmful than alcohol, I think I can argue, or most can argue. But if there's another thing out there, and there's always other things out there that can do that same sort of thing, is it kind of a product of where we're at today, where people have just really made a habit regularly of checking out because of the stresses of the world, rather than finding healthy ways of dealing with it?
I think you're right. I think humans have probably always looked for substances to alter their consciousness. Mm-hmm. You know, life has just always been hard, even back in the caveman days.
Sure.
Life was hard. So people have always been looking for ways to feel less stress. But what we've seen with cannabis, and I had a brain tumor about a decade ago and had some severe pain issues going on from that. And I was using legal cannabis at the time for medical purposes, for pain control. So I'm not anti-cannabis at all. Mm-hmm. But are there people who become psychologically dependent on it to the point that it harms them? Yes, there are. And it's only maybe 10 to 15% of cannabis users. But I've got lots of friends who are using cannabis. And if they're only using it for sleep, It's helping them if they're using it occasionally on the weekends. It's fine. It's not causing harm. But if there are some people who are smoking, basically taking breaks at work all day long, and you wouldn't want your brain surgeon doing that, you know, and it does impair driving. You know, so I think with all this stuff, this is one of the things I try to work with people in therapy on is really looking at what is your baseline mood state. And if your mood is really that disturbed that you're feeling throughout the day, you need to smoke some dope, you know, or you need to take ketamine every night, or you're just, you know, in bad shape. It's like we need to look at some other that are going on in your life, what needs to change, how can you develop problem-solving skills here, what are some healthy activities, whether it's, you know, horseback riding or kayaking or hiking, other kinds of things you can do that are giving you healthy coping mechanisms so that you don't need this mood alteration all the time.
You're in the thick of a true crime saga, every detail sinking in, and then, wham, a commercial about something you couldn't care less about. It's like being served a microwaved dinner at a five-star restaurant. But it doesn't have to be this way. Go for True Crime Today, Premium Plus, on Apple Podcasts. With True Crime Today, Premium Plus, you get uninterrupted, ad-free episodes, extended interviews that dig even deeper into the muck, and early access so you can brag to your friends. It's like ordering the secret menu at a crime buffet. So, search for True Crime Today, Premium Plus, on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and savor every twisted detail without interruption.